Stories from the Past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
In the name of Allah, Salam. So welcome, this is another episode of Lantern. On the continuation of this episode of Lantern, we have the hunter, the sheikh, and the hungry cat. Once upon a time, there lived a hunter in a forest. He was young and strong and very successful as a hunter. To amuse himself, this hunter kept a cat as a pet. In the late afternoon, when the hunter ate his meal of roasted meat, he gave some of it to the cat. This cat got so used to the meat that if any other food was offered that was not meat, it would refuse to eat it. It was indeed a spoiled cat. It so happened that one day the young man fell sick. He could not go out hunting. So the hunter took out some barley, boiled it, and sat down to it. The cat came running for its food, and the hunter offered some of the barley to the cat. The cat smelled the barley, hissed at the food, and walked away. There also lived in the forest a certain sheikh in a hut not too far away from that of the hunter. Sensing that something was wrong with the hunter because he had not heard the sounds that resulted from his usual hunting, the sheikh went to see the young man. Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, the sheikh greeted the young hunter. Are you well, my young friend? Said the sheikh. I have a fever, my sheikh, said the hunter, and a terrible headache, so I could not go hunting today. At this point, the hunter's pet cat came out. It was still hissing from the lack of meat. This cat eats only meat, said the hunter. I offered it some barley, but it refused to eat it, and it has been hissing since the morning. The sheikh thought for a moment. Give me the cat for 3 days, said the sheikh, and help me build a cage. I will train the cat. The sheikh carried home the cage and with it the cat. The first day he offered the cat water and some barley in a cup, which was placed outside the cage and within reach of the cat hissed and turned away. This scene was repeated the second day. The third day, the sheikh pulled the cup of barley away so that the cat could not reach it even if it wanted to. The cat hissed all morning, but by the afternoon of the third day, the hissing stopped and it was all quiet. By now, the hunter was feeling better and he came to the sheikh to collect his cat. Greeting the sheikh, he asked how the cat was doing. I will show you, said the sheikh. He opened the door to the cage. The cat ran straight to the cup of barley. Only after licking the cup clean of all the barley did the cat turn to the hunter. The hunter had learned his lesson. Thank you, my sheikh, said the hunter. I should treat my nafs the way you treated this cat. Do not give it to the fancy desires of your nafs. Keep it on the tight leash. Feed it with the food of contentment.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله dear audience welcome to a new episode of Lantern from iWeb English Radio This is Zainab Musavi and what we do in this program is to listen to certain stories and then take the moral lessons out of them in order for us to make use of them in our ordinary life as Muslims. You know, the story we've just listened to is about training the nafs and being aware not to let it do what it desires in an uncontrollable manner. You know, nafs is an Arabic word occurring in the Holy Book of Quran, literally meaning self, and has been translated as psyche, ego, or soul. In the Noble Quran, the word nafs is used in two ways. The first way in which the word nafs is used is to indicate our own self. Some people would translate it in English as self, and some people would translate it as the soul, you know. And an example of this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Book of Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واذكر ربك في نفسك, and remember your Lord inside yourself, Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 205. The second way the term nafs has been used in the Holy Book of Quran, which is quite frequent, is that nafs is referring to specific part of ourself, and it is that part of ourself that has desires, appetite, anger, passion, lust, and it has all these things. Some people call it the ego. Some people even call it the carnal self or the carnal soul. Three adjectives have been used in the Noble Quran to describe three different types of nafs. Nafs al-ammara, nafs al-lawama, and nafs al-mutma'inna. The first is nafs al-ammara. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Inna nafs al-ammara bis-su. Indeed, the nafs that overwhelmingly commands a person to do sin. Surah Al-Yusuf, verse number 53. So this refers to that nafs which is ruling over the self. And this means that the nafs commands us and tells us what to do. So when the nafs has any desire, any wish, any appetite, it simply commands us and dominates us. Nafs al-ammara is that nafs which controls over a human being. The sign that a person has this type of nafs is that they sin willingly, blatantly, remorselessly, and in any way that they want. Okay, now let's have a short break and we will be back soon.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story, which indicates a moral aspect of our life.
Welcome back, dear audience. You're listening to Lantern from iRibe English Radio, and we are talking about different types of nafs and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it. You know, and the second type of nafs that we were talking about is nafs al-lawama. وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَامَةِ, the Holy Book of Quran says, and I swear by the reproaching soul. Surah Al-Qiyamah, verse number 2. Lawam here means self-incriminate, to self-reproach or to blame oneself. This is that nafs that sometimes brings a person to do sin, but then that nafs self-incriminates itself. It reproaches itself and it feels bad or it feels guilty. Then this guilt increases so much that the person leaves those sins because he feels guilty about them. So the sign that people have such a nafs is precisely that when they commit a sin, they feel remorse or regret, and they feel guilt, they feel shame, they feel embarrassment, and they wish they would never have done it. They may even intend at the very moment to never do that again, so that they are fighting a battle with their own nafs. Sometimes they commit sin and sometimes they are able to stay away from it. And the third type of nafs is nafs al-mutma'inna. The Holy Book of Quran says, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ ارْجَعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّ. To the righteous it will be said, Oh, reassured soul, return to your Lord well-pleased and pleasing to Him. Surah Al-Fajr, verses number 27 and 28. Thank you very much for being with us in this episode. Until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.